Is this thing on? Oh, hey. What's going on, everybody? Just blowing the dust off the mic. The Talking Puck Podcast is back. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes, we're coming your way here in just a moment. We're going to look at the NHL trade deadline. Trades that have already been made. We're recording this on a Thursday night. The trade deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. And then Mike and I, after the weekend and the dust settles, we'll be back at you with a trade wrap-up show. But for now, here are our thoughts on what's going to happen and what has already happened a lot in the NHL trade deadline. The Talking Puck Podcast returns right now. Welcome back, Tom Callahan. Welcome back, Mike Haynes. Welcome back, Talking Puck. It's been a minute, Mike.
You know, we really like to build up the suspense. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, my goodness.
We've waited a long time. We've got a lot to talk about. So, you folks, you have picked the right Talking Puck episode to listen to, because we are going to cover a lot of topics.
Oh, my goodness. We have so much going on. And, of course, trade deadline is coming up randomly on a Friday instead of a Monday this year. I don't know if it makes a huge difference, but...
I still have the belief, Tom, that it should be a complete day off in the NHL. I don't know about you. I don't know whether it makes it more exciting or it's just weird. And I know you've had this situation. I've been on the road with the team, and trades happen. But you've been on the road maybe for a few days or a couple of games, and the tension, the stress, the wonderment, the because everybody is on the road, all the scouts are there. You know, the team mom has shown up. I mean, just everybody is on the trip, wondering what's going to happen. It's all anybody can talk about, and it's especially if you have a game that night. I found it very disruptive. I'm not a player, but I just found the atmosphere very disruptive. What are your thoughts on, first of all, before we get into the actual trades? I think it's become such – it's almost a holiday in Canada that it should be a day off for the entire country. Plus, I think the NHL should take the day off.
You know what, Mike? I can actually support that. We don't often agree on this stuff, but no, in this case, and here's why, this year they have a Friday off coming up in 2 weeks. Just a Friday off, right. Nothing going on. Why couldn't that Friday be tomorrow? And we are taping this, whenever you're hearing this, we're taping it Thursday night before the deadline. And I agree, they should take the day off. And as you mentioned, and we've both seen it happen where you're on the road with a team, a guy gets dealt, and now so awkward.
I'll tell you the weirdest one I was around. Colorado was playing the New York Islanders. And leaving that night to fly to Sweden to play against the Ottawa Senators. And that day, that night, I think if I remember right, it happened right before the game or even maybe during the game, Matt Duchene got traded to the Ottawa Senators. So that guy is playing one night on Long Island for Colorado, gets traded that night, and then the next time he sees them is a couple more days later in Sweden playing for the other team. It was very odd.
Oh, my good. I can't imagine. Yeah. Hey, how well did you pack for this road trip?
I know. Right? Exactly.
Did you cover all eventualities, including a game in Europe?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's I agree though, Mike. I think that and let's face it, look at how nuts the hockey world goes over the first day of free agency. Mm-hmm. So I think that the trade deadline is just like, even if it's a dead deadline, because we've seen so much action already coming up here to the deadline, we really are under the possibility that it is just really anticlimactic tomorrow. I think that I would do that. And again, I mean, getting players to different places in the league, and it's not like you're taking a day off and there's going to be zero media coverage. That's the other thing. I mean, a lot of times when leagues don't play on a day, like the entire league goes dormant, you're worried about no media coverage. That would not be a problem.
No, that's not the problem at all. But we have seen, I think, in the last 10 years, that is a big change, what you mentioned before, that there used to be, I could say 10 years ago, it was built up. You had some trades leading up to the day, but it seemed like trade deadline day was a frenzy. That's when it all happened. It seems now, and I understand the thinking, if you have your eye on a certain person, you want to start working that way earlier.
Yeah.
Try to get the price you want, try to get, you know, the deal that you want ahead of time. Whereas if you're the guy, if you're a team that's out of the playoffs and you've got a good piece that you want to trade, you can understand trying to wait and then see what, you know, the auction, so to speak, is going to be on trade deadline day. But it seems like it almost seems like teams, if they get pretty much what they want ahead of time, it takes away that constant talking about it, and that players just, you know he's going to get traded probably, and you know what's coming, and it just prolongs it. So I understand now why the NHL, we see the bigger trades happening way before the trade deadline day. Not to say that nothing's going to happen on Friday, trade deadline day this year, but I would say 10 years ago, it was just a frenzy on that day. That's really been a big change, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing I've noticed this year, Mike, that's a departure from what we normally see, is GMs normally, in my opinion, I'll even use the word, overvalue their draft picks. You know, you see guys protecting a mid first round, late first round pick, like it's, you know, their firstborn child. Mm-hmm. And those picks, a handful of them pan out to be impact NHL players. Meanwhile, if you have a chance to deal for one, you can. Well, this year, and I think Tampa Bay's kind of set the model the last couple of years, and they did it again this year, of saying, if you're in win now mode, just trade in the first round pick. Now, it's going to bite you down the road. Eventually, your coverage will be bare. But, I mean, if you're going after it, and Tampa Bay's going after it again, and this year I've seen a lot more GMs say, you know what, we're going to come off our first round pick.
Yeah, that has been a change. I would say, yeah, 5 years ago, that was the whole thinking of, we are building our team through draft choices, and we're gonna. But that's it's funny how the pendulum swings back and forth, doesn't it? I think we're seeing a change if you do have a top three draft choice, you can change your franchise if you make the right pick and the right pick is there. And that's what you don't want to get caught. Ottawa got caught with that, you know, in that whole Matt Duchene trade. You know, they blew it.
Yeah.
That cost them Makar. You know, it could have been, you know, that was that trade. And, you know, and so you just have to make sure that if you're trading away, and the problem is teams, you know, generally, if you are going for it, you are not holding on to a top three draft choice. So it's the teams that are at the bottom that have got to be careful with their draft choices. More so, as you pointed out, I think astutely, is that, you know, if you're going for it and you're in the top 10 of the teams in the NHL, you know, chances are you don't have one of those really, really top first round picks, and so it's not as bad. But you're right; at some point, the cupboard does become bare. You do have to start building up. But you know, you can point towards the teams that have been real good, you know, lately, and you can see the downward turn. But you know, it also shows you Tampa Bay is they're still hanging in there, aren't they, Tom? That last team before Tampa Bay was Chicago, that went through a period where they won those three cups in 6 years. They had something going, and then they fell off the cliff. When do we see that for Tampa Bay? I think it may come down to their goaltender. When he's done, that might be the end of that little ride.
I do think that's a big one, but I also, and here's the thing, they're going to be able to live past Stamkos. But once they start losing another guy like Kucherov, you know, Hedman, I feel like, can still play at an elite level for a while. But once those players start to decline, but yeah, Vasilevsky is just
once that's it. When you notice that he's not at the top anymore or near the top, that's when you have to rebuild. Tampa Bay, they still have a chance. As long as you have the goaltender, you still got a chance.
Absolutely, you do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, coming up on tomorrow's deadline, right now Metro is Carolina, New Jersey, Rangers top three, Atlantic is Boston, Toronto, Tampa, another Toronto Tampa first round, yay, here we go. And the wild card right now are the Islanders and Pittsburgh. I did not pick the Islanders to be there. I didn't think they'd be back in the way they are. And Buffalo on the outside looking in with Florida and Washington at 66 points. Right. 3 points behind Pittsburgh, 4 behind the Islanders.
Yeah.
So that's
what are your friends in Buffalo saying these days?
They're excited, but it's crazy. I don't know what's happening, but Buffalo sports fans, for the most part, are not wanting to mortgage the farm just to say, well, these guys deserve getting the playoffs this year. We should really go after it. No, there's, dare I say it, Mike, patience. There's patience in Buffalo.
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's
what?
Weird.
That's a strange word to hear out of there.
It is, especially because there's no patience with the Bills right now. I think that's what it is because there is no patience with the Bills. They can afford to have patience with the Sabres. But that's what it is. People are looking at it and saying, geez, we really have an excellent young core, and they're not willing to give anything up out of that core. I don't blame them. I think Buffalo's on a good trajectory right now. They even made a trade for a goaltender earlier today, or trading away a goaltender in Eric Portillo, who basically, I mean, he's been a pretty good prospect at Michigan, but told the team, I'm not going to sign with you guys. So they needed to trade him for something. They picked him in the third round. They got a third rounder for him. Okay, but somebody's going to end up with a good goaltender if he does decide. He could always go free agent, but right now he's with the Kings. So that's a good lead in, actually, I think, to our trades, unless you had something else you wanted to hit before we get to this.
Oh, no, let's go. Let's get to it.
Oh, my goodness. So much going on today, yesterday, day before, all week. It's been busy for a week, really. Looking at some of these now, the Blue Jackets have been busy. The Vegas Golden Knights have been busy. And Jonathan Quick went from the Kings to the Blue Jackets and is now with the Golden Knights with the injury to Logan Thompson, who is an absolute stud. I've been singing this kid's praises for the last 2 years, and I think he was having a breakout year till he got hurt. And, you know, Aiden Hill was filling in about as admirably as he could, but wasn't as good, so they end up getting Quick in that trade that eventually brought him over for the Blue Jackets. Who got him from the Kings? Now, a couple of big ones, teams loading up, no surprise, the Bruins, Tyler Bertuzzi. Here's a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick. Now, the other thing we're seeing, Mike, is not this year's first-rounder, next year's first-rounder. This one is a 2024 first-rounder and a 2025 fourth-rounder. So we're starting to see teams go, I'll give you my first-round 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Oof. So, yeah, they're looking down
always
the road.
Dangerous. Always dangerous, because you never know where you're going to where the team's going to be in 2 years, you know?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Nashville, especially the Bruins. Like, the Bruins, the Penguins, these are teams that are on the cusp of aging out. That is risky. That is, hey, we feel like we're winning the cup this year. And you know what? If you win the cup this year, no one will complain about the price you paid.
No, then it's worth it. But boy, if you don't, you're look down the road 2 years from now. That team that could be a top 10 pick.
Yep. You're right. Jacob Chychrun goes to Ottawa, and the price on him actually dropped a little bit this year. First round, next year second round, 2026 second round to the Arizona Coyotes, who continue to stockpile those. So that was a big one. I was really kind of surprised at this trade, and it's not a huge trade, but it is a huge trade because it makes zero sense. The Canucks got Filip Hronek from the Red Wings and gave up a conditional 2023 first round and a 2023 second round. They also got a fourth rounder back, but where is Vancouver going? Vancouver's terrible, and they're acquiring a defenseman and giving up picks while they should be rebuilding. What is going on with that franchise? They mishandled everything this year. We did not get to talk about what they did to Gabby.
Bruce.
Goodness, I was so unhappy with that. Yeah, like
that's a whole show right there. Oh, that's a travesty. It's sad. It's really too bad. Do wonder, they had so many changes. Remember, we talked about this last year. Changed their coach, the front office changed, and they're still making the some mistakes that they've made in the past, it would appear.
Yeah. Yep. And it doesn't appear to be getting any better. That's that's the other thing. Carolina has been busy. They got Shane Gostisbehere from Arizona for a third rounder. And again, that's a depth move for them. Lars Eller to the Avalanche for a second rounder in 25 from the Caps. The Caps are sellers, which is interesting to me because they're kind of the Caps are sellers, which is interesting to me because they're kind of right there on the cusp of all that. And I didn't think they would be selling at this point, Mike. Does it surprise you at all that the Caps are in a seller column?
I always think this, that we look at the team and we look at the stand, but we don't really see what's happening sometimes in that locker room or what's going on. And you know, GMs have to take a look at the future, and then they've got they generally have a good pulse of what's going on. But they must feel like that they're, even if they make it, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, there is a difference. There are teams. See, the Washington's had enough success fairly recently, even winning a cup, that it's, you know, they don't necessarily have to try and just go for it and make the playoffs. There are teams that have got to, they're making deals so they can make the playoffs. And that sends a message to the fans. It makes them more money. It says something. Where I think with a team like the Caps, they understand they're not winning the cup. And so it kind of makes sense to me what they're doing, because they're not going to win the Stanley Cup, and why mortgage some things just to get into the playoffs this year when you're not going anywhere if you've had some success in the past.
Fair enough. So I'm going to hit a couple more major trades, yep, and then we're going to dive into it here.
Sure.
Gavrikov and Korpisalo to the Kings for Quick, who was eventually flipped to the Golden Knights. A conditional first rounder and a third rounder in 2024. The Blackhawks, Patrick Kane to the Rangers with Cooper. I know we're going to talk about this one. Andy Walensky, a second round, a fourth round coming back. And there was a couple other players, and it went via Arizona, and the Coyotes kept 25% of that hit. Matias Ekholm and a sixth rounder to Edmonton, and he looks good already in his first game for the Oilers. What have we been saying about the Oilers for years? No defense. You know, they're the Edmonton Oilers because there's no D. Barry Schaefer, 2023 first rounder, 2024 fourth rounder to the Predators. And then Luke Schenn to Toronto, which is, I think, a really good move for the Leafs. Eric Gustafson to Toronto. Toronto's also bolstering its back end. Jake McCabe to Toronto, along with Lafferty. Some picks in there for Joey Anderson, Gogolev, and a couple of picks. A first rounder in 2025, conditional to the Hawks, and a second rounder. So what you're seeing is some of these teams like Chicago, Nashville, really loading up. Tanner Janot to Tampa Bay. This was the ridiculous price that I couldn't believe David Poile got. But again, Tampa Bay win now mode. 25 first rounder, 24 second rounder, 23 third rounder, 23 fourth rounder, 23 fifth rounder, and Cal Foot for Tanner Janot. Crazy. And then one more, and then I'll open it up for you. Timo Meier, this is the one that really started everything, from the Sharks to the Devils, along with Harrington, Hataka, Ibrahimov, Emond, and a fifth rounder in 24 for Johansson, and couple other players in there, but it really the important part, the first round picks, 2023 first rounder, 2024 conditional first rounder going to the Sharks. There was a seventh rounder in there, but a lot of assets either way. But that Timo Meier trade started the major avalanche of big names going places. So do you want to start with Meier, Janot, McCabe? Do you want to go to Patrick Kane? Any of those and or anything else is on the table?
I'm going to talk Kane.
All right.
Absolutely. That's he is the biggest name. You know, whether or not he'll have the biggest effect, whether or not, you know, whether how much has he got left, is he going to help? But it's the biggest name. And I remember when we were doing the shows last year around this time, and I thought that would have been the time to trade Kane. I thought you could really get a lot for him. I think that's a pretty good deal for the Rangers, don't you?
I do, and the Rangers, Mike,
that was almost a steal to me. For it depended, you know, I just think you get a guy like him. You unfortunately have been in a losing situation for a while there in Chicago. And he's also a guy that you can just key on. If you're the other teams, you just go, well, what do we have? Who do we have to stop to beat this weak Blackhawks team? Let's just stop Kane.
Right.
So he gets a lot of attention. Numbers aren't the same. He's losing. I think if he now with the Rangers, he doesn't have to be it all the time. I think you've got a great atmosphere in that place. And Madison Square is always special just simply to play. But I also, the team is good. It's young. It's coming up. You've got great, coaching, leadership in the front office. I just think it's a chance to rejuvenate him. I think he's really, really going to be good. I think that's a steal for the Rangers. That's a great trade.
And what amazes me, too, is how the Rangers, after they got Tarasenko, still pulled this off. I thought, and even Patrick Kane thought, he even talked about it. And he said, man, I thought after they got Tarasenko, he's like, I was unhappy to see it. He's like, because I thought that meant I wasn't going to the Rangers. I think a lot of people thought that, Patrick Kane. You weren't alone. Because I thought, wow, how are they going to do this? But they kept moving parts around. And again, bouncing him through Arizona helps. But wow, that's just so impressive.
I told you last year, if you'll recall, I said within 3 years, the Rangers will win the Stanley Cup. That they've got, the guy who's running that ship is, they are going to win. And that's too, if you can get, again, I said it earlier in this podcast that the hardest thing to do, the toughest thing to do is get a guy who can score. Tarasenko can score. Patrick Kane can make things happen. There's two great additions to that team. Are they in the prime of their career? No, but you didn't have to give up the world to get them. I don't know. I think those are two great additions, but especially Kane. And the other party is it's something special about playing there at Madison Square Garden. And the fans love stars there.
Right.
And he is going to be loved. When he starts doing that sideways skating and he's doing it, or he goes to a shootout and he does this little thing where he slows down and he buries one, or he makes some crazy behind the back pass, something, I'm telling you, they're going to love him. He will be beloved there, unless he just completely becomes, invisible and doesn't produce, but I wouldn't expect that. He's a competitor. He's a guy who loves the spotlight. I think it's a great situation for both sides. I really do.
Yeah, and Chicago stockpiled a lot. They know who they are and where they're not going.
Of course,
but they're paying the piper. But they won their cups.
Yeah, they won, and I think they traded Kane a year later. I really do. I think that they probably could have got a lot more for him last year. But, that might have just been sheer loyalty and a new GM in there. That's a tough trigger to pull.
Sure.
But anyway, I think that the two, to me, if you look at we're having a discussion, we can get into the Tampa Bay thing because that's fascinating to talk about that trade. But if you want to talk about the two biggest names and whether or not they got anything left, it's Kane and Quick. All right, I want, because you're my goaltending guru. Does Quick have anything left to give to Vegas?
Number one, they better hope so. Number two, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. He showed a spark last year in the playoffs.
He did.
A little bit. But now it's a year later, and the way he plays too is, that his body it just wears on you. It's the way he his style is not an older goaltender type style, is it?
No, it wears on your hips, it wears on your knees, it wears on your groin, and he has had groin issues, he has had hip issues, he has run into all of those things. And so I'm hoping for his sake, he clearly hadn't played as much the last couple of years in LA, maybe he does have something to kind of carry them. And I think Vegas is comfortable enough in the standings where they don't have to run him into the ground. That was kind of the mistake, honestly, that was made with Marc-Andre Fleury. They drove Fleury into the ground when they didn't need to. They didn't need Fleury at 37 at the time to have to carry the load every single game. They should have alternated a few starts in there. They didn't. So I wonder if Vegas is going to make the same mistake again. They really should not put it all on him. The other thing that's interesting is, Mike, this is one of those trades that never happens if it's LA to Vegas, because they're separated by 2 points right now in the Pacific. LA does not trade quick to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. You don't think that they knew that was going to happen? I mean, you don't think there was some...
Maybe, but it's Columbus? Plausible deniability, Mike.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Plausible deniability. Because, I mean, right now, there's probably, what, four guys who from this cup-winning era of the Kings are going to have their their numbers in the rafters there in L.A. Mm-hmm. And he's one of them. And he might even be the primary guy, with all respect to Kopitar and Doughty and Brown. I think he's the primary guy that Kings fans of the era are always going to relate to those cup-winning teams.
Everybody loves a great goaltender, and one who plays with his panache too. I mean, just a little, you know, that's the way he plays. If he's playing well, you just love it. You just love it because he can make the easy save look hard, you know,
right.
in a way, you know, not to put him down at all. I'm just saying that's just the style. It looks that way. But to me, those are the two biggest names, if you will. But the Tampa Bay trade is, fascinating, and I want to get into the Bruins thing, not just because of them trading away a little bit of the future, but also if you're going for it now, that's a heck of a contract to give to your best player. You're not giving him a 3-year extension. I mean, that you've committed the bank to Pastrnak. But let's get into the Tampa Bay thing. Do you believe, does this make any difference to you in terms of predicting if Tampa Bay can get back to the Stanley Cup Finals? Do you think it was, we won't know until the end of the season, obviously, but do you think it's worth it to Tampa Bay that they still have a shot to get back there?
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. What they need from Tanner Janot is for him to be the jam, the glue. His stats are down this year, but the kind of player he can be, and that's the other thing that's actually a little scary about me for Tampa Bay for this, is you want a Pat Maroon. You know, and you hope that Janot comes in, shot in the arm, reinvigorated, fired up, comes in, plays back to his capabilities. Nashville was struggling, and I think a lot of players were kind of playing down a little bit there. And we'll talk about Nashville and what's going on there, because they have done a great job clearing the decks for the handoff here, David Poile to Barry Trotz. But they paid a lot to get a guy who's had an underperforming year. And so they must, in their scouting minds, believe that he is the guy that puts them over the edge. Now, if you're Tampa Bay, you don't need Patrick Kane to put you over the edge. You know, you just need your guys to be healthy, which is another issue. You need Stamkos to stay healthy. You need Kucherov to stay healthy, which they never are. So, I mean, that's the other thing, is literally a bounce or a break goes against you, and you could have traded all that draft capital and Cal Foot for nothing. So I don't know. I feel like it's Tampa Bay. If they could do what would it be, Mike? 3 cups in 5 years, 4 years, 5 years.
Well, they won 2 in a row, and then right, they won 2 in a row, then went to the finals last year
and lost. Right. So it'd be, if they win this year, 3 and 4.
I just still think love the talent, love the goalie. It's just too many miles in today's NHL. That was, to me, I still thought they were the better team last year. They just ran out of, it's too many miles. It's just too many games that are hard fought games in 3 years, against a team that hadn't won anything, you know? So I just don't know what's left in the tank for Tampa Bay. Is there enough not having won last year? Or was it another? Because remember how hard they had a couple of tough series. The first series against Toronto, that series against the Rangers, tough, tough series.
Right, but the teams that were really good last year that gave them a hard time, like Florida. Mm-hmm. Florida's not the same team.
No. But they dispensed with Florida. I think they won that. They swept that series last
they
year.
Did. They yeah. did. But in the regular season, I'm talking about kind of that regular season grind.
Okay.
I feel like those teams weren't there.
But the grind's going to start once the playoffs begin. I mean, you got to get in and all that. But they've had the last 3 years of going to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's hard. It's really hard. It just wears on you. You talk about injuries. This is why they're banged up. It's a battle every night when you're doing that. And you better hope Vasilevsky is completely healthy. You better keep him rested for the playoff run. Because there were a few games last year that I went, something's not quite right there. Because he didn't play quite like I thought that he would in some key games. But they gave up a lot. And, Tampa Bay, to their credit, if you look at the lick up leading into their Stanley Cup run, they didn't miss much on trades. They're smart. That's a smart, smart, smart front office. And not that they're batting 1,000, but boy, they threw all the chips on the table here, didn't they? This is the guy. So they haven't missed many of these, have they, Tom? I think their trades they've made, the deals they've done. Nobody's perfect, but their winning percentage in trades and deals and signings is better than virtually all the teams in the NHL. That's why they've been to the Stanley Cup the last 3 years.
And, Mike, here's the thing. A team like the Rangers get two big, sexy names, right, to come in. Two, flashy stud offensive guys, Tarasenko and Kane. Mm-hmm. But it can be hard to work those guys in, there's no guarantee they're going to walk in and work with their first combination or even second combination of line mates. I'm going to be interested to see who they are really going to, once all the dust settles, who Kane's going to play with, who Panarin's going to play with, who Tarasenko's going to play with. Like, all these, where's everybody going to go? There's only one puck.
Yeah, but that's nice to have those options.
Sure it is.
That is really nice. That's looking down the bench. Hey, we need a goal. Do I put Kane out, Tarasenko, Panarin? I mean, all of a sudden, it's what you've done is because they went to, how many game sevens? Did they have 3 game 7s or at least 2 game 7s last year, right? The Rangers, I think. Didn't they? They had to come back twice down 3-1, if I remember right. So they had, I think all 3 series were game sevens now that I think about it last year. So how nice would it be if you're the Rangers, if you have guys that can score and you're not having to fight to get to game 7s? Or if you are in game sevens, you've got guys that can score and win. I don't see much downside unless there's just nothing left with those guys. But I just think guys who've been around teams, and then you know my feeling on the Blues. That was after they won the Cup. That was not a good team. Hawks have been horrible. It's either you've been so bad for the last few years you can't get out of that rut as a player, or you're going to a team where you get rejuvenated. And Kane's a winner. Tarasenko's been a winner. I'm betting on rejuvenation for those guys.
And Mike, just for your benefit of your memory, Rangers beat Pittsburgh in seven. They beat Carolina in seven and lost to Tampa in six.
In six. Okay. They didn't get to game seven. Okay. So, but I knew they had, I knew it was a grind, and they were, you know, it was a close call in two of those series for sure. But, I don't know if those guys can come through and score some goals, boy, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah. It absolutely. Absolutely is. And then there's Boston. We need to talk about Boston.
Yes, let me
give you the slap yourself. This can't be real. Stat of the day. So, second in the NHL in goal differential, the New Jersey Devils, which first of all is surprising all by itself, but there they are, plus 53. That's second place. Boston is first place, plus 97.
Wow.
That's 44 goal gap. Like, that's almost as many plus goals as New Jersey is.
It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? You just don't put that in your head that's who the Boston Bruins are, do you? You wondered about what was the goaltending situation going to be like? How old these guys are? They, you know, are they just kind of done? You know, will they just kind of hang around, maybe get seventh or eighth in the conference and get in? Is that the story of the year in the NHL?
To me, it is. How good the Bruins have been. And Mike, we've been talking about which team should tear it down for a couple of years now, wondering what they had left in the tank. This is unbelievable for Boston. And for them to get Ullmark to come in and do the job he's done in net, and for them, they're 47-8-5. That's unbelievable.
It's just can't even believe it. I know. Hey, even their goalies are scoring goals.
Right.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah. We all love a good goalie goal. And yeah, that, man, you're right. It's crazy.
It's contagious.
It is. And then they go out and they get Tyler Bertuzzi. And so they give up a first rounder, which is top 10 protected, but I don't think they're going to worry about that in 2024, and a fourth rounder. But honestly, for the Bruins, they haven't done a whole lot else. I don't know what else they might do. There's still some names that are out there. Van Riemsdyk in Philly, Besser in Vancouver. You know, there's some defensemen floating around. Kulikov, Edmonton, Klingberg. JT Miller is on the trade bait board for sure. But as I go down this list, the deeper I get, the less impressed I am about guys who I think are going to make an impact. But Boston, again, doesn't need that. They need what Tampa got, that middle of the road guy who they need to come in, be solid, and give them a little bit of that je ne sais quoi in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's what you need. And you I don't think you got to find a guy that you don't have to give up what Tampa Bay gave up to get somebody like that. But you also, when you are going, there's two schools of thought here. One school of thought is we are top of the heap. Let's not screw this chemistry up, and let's just keep rolling. On the other hand, I just happened to be with a team that they were at the top of the heap, and they went, let's get Ray Bourque. Let's get Rob Blake. Let's completely, even though we're top of the league, let's go big splash. And it worked. So I've, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
You can give me the speech of don't rock the boat, and I'll give you, well, I've seen the boat rocked and it worked. You know, so I don't know what to think here with Boston. I first side of me says just leave it alone, but I don't think there is a Rob Blake or Ray Bourque out there right now. I think what you're looking at, there's who is the biggest name left that can just make a huge impact, and you know,
Now the Chychrun's gone to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Maybe I Brock Besser.
Yeah, but that's not earth shattering. That's just
no.
You know, you're not, there's nobody rushing to the phone to order some or the computer to order some playoff tickets.
Right. JT Miller's got 20 goals. Adam Henrique's got 19. Those are like probably some of the best guys available right now.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's nobody that all of a sudden, you know, you're selling fourth round playoff tickets.
Right.
You know, there just isn't that name out there. But that's where smart GMs have got to come through and go, okay, what's the missing pieces? What are some, you know, let's get that that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth defenseman in here that in case we as you always do, you run into some injuries. Let's make sure that we've got, you know, guys there, you know, who's the guy that can come into the room, be good, and, you know, the veteran guy that could come in and maybe chip in with some penalty killing and that kind of thing. That's what we're looking at now, right? Unless there's something I'm missing or unless there's some team that's near the bottom that just goes – that surprises us and just unloads somebody.
I
just don't hear that.
I can't let us talk about trades at the trade deadline and not once again – I got to bring him up every year. Until he's traded, I will continue to bring him up. Is Gibson with the Ducks. John Gibson could, if he goes to a good team, people would find out what an insanely good goaltender he really is.
So who, all right, let's make you choose which team you want to be the GM of. Which team do you want to take over so you can make that trade for Gibson to give you a Stanley Cup?
Wow, let's see here. And knowing that there's a lot of teams out there that quite honestly seem to be set for goaltending. I mean, Carolina, the Rangers, those teams don't need a goalie. Tampa Bay doesn't need a goalie. So if I just look at the standings here, I don't think Carolina or New Jersey even are going to be looking at a goaltender. Boston is just fine where they are. They don't want to mess with that. The Islanders have two, I think, one of the best tandems in the NHL when those guys are on and they're healthy. I don't know. Is Pittsburgh – where is Pittsburgh? They're still spending money to stay in this, right? You have to while Crosby has two legs and can skate on both.
Well, after what you did in the offseason, you have to, right? Don't you?
Don't
you owe it to the fans after what you did? After you said, all right, hey, we got to keep this little nucleus together. So you got to give them another chance, right? I can't see it. But I don't, you know, does he make that difference in Pittsburgh?
Okay, here's one that's kind of out there. And it's a little strange to me. But in the West, what about Seattle? Because they have a goaltender who plays okay on a severely overpaid contract, and then they have a bunch of pretty decent backups, but they're decent backups.
Right.
And I wonder if on a team like Seattle, that is, let's face it, this is a team that needs to beat you by a goal or two. Now, sometimes they're going to have a little bit of an outburst, and holy cow, did they absolutely steal a guy off the waiver wire from Nashville that... I'm sorry, Preds fans. I know there's some listening, and I don't know what to tell you guys, but it just, man, I look at, you know, Seattle as one of those teams that, you know, you get Eli Tolvanen, and he's been on a tear, and guys seem to be putting it together a little bit right now. They are a team that is built to grind it and possibly pull a playoff upset. Mm-hmm. So, but Mike, they are probably the most cautious, slow burn build team out there.
And if you're Gibson, you're going, well, okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
That I don't know if you're doing cartwheels all the way up the West Coast to get there.
Right.
If you're Gibson.
Right.
You know, if you're Gibson, you want to go to a team that can win the Stanley Cup. I would think, or at least, you know, is in the, it really, truly is in the running.
Colorado's not looking. Vegas just got Jonathan Quick, and I guess that's their answer. Yeah. LA,
I know. We were pushing that Edmonton deal for a couple of years.
Oh, my God. Mike Smith is back. What? No, stop.
But we were pushing Gibson to Edmonton.
And I think that would have been a great move. But now Edmonton has done the other thing that they've needed to do and add defense.
Yeah.
I like that they brought in Ekholm. I thought that's a great move for them. Man, they've just needed to be better on the blue line for so long because they have all that talent up front.
Right. Of course. I don't know. Gibson, I don't know if anybody's, you know, if anybody's such a, it's a tough situation. Edmonton was in that rare situation for a couple of years where they were great and Stanley Cup contender, but didn't have a goalie.
Yeah.
That's such a rare thing in the NHL. You know, that he would have been a perfect addition to that team. Like I always said, you take, you know, 2 years ago or last year, you call up Anaheim and you say, all right, take McDavid and Draisaitl off the conversation. You can have anybody else you want. You can have the whole team. just give us Gibson. But I mean, it's yeah.
And what about the Leafs? I'm going to throw the Leafs out there just because I look at this Leafs team and they're.
I like it. You know what? That's the move. That's it, Tom. That's the one. That's the move right there. Would that get that town excited?
I think it would. I mean, they don't like Matt Murray.
No, they know their hockey. They know that would be exciting. You know what, Tom? You hit it. That's the one. Toronto. That's who should do something.
All right. Well, we'll bang that drum then. Gibson to Toronto tomorrow. At least I will. I just want to see John Gibson go somewhere and have a chance to win.
I know you do.
He's so good. I watch the Ducks for their young, exciting forwards, and because Gibson is always going to pull like two crazy out of his you-know-what saves. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. No, I know. No, you've been pushing this for years. I know.
I like
him to Toronto. That's we'll go with that. All right. Hey, when we come back with our follow-up after the trades are done, we'll see if he goes.
And I'm sure he doesn't, but you know, trying to stay optimistic. So anyway, Mike, is there? So the trade deadline is tomorrow, Friday. We're taping this on a Thursday. Is there anything that you're looking at here that needs to happen? There's teams that you want to see, hey, do something by this 3 p.m. Eastern time trade deadline that hasn't done anything yet.
The Boston situation is fascinating to me. I just want to see which way they want to go. Are they status quo and feel like they've got their chemistry, they got their team, or do they go? Where do they? I think realistically, go. This might be it for us. we caught lightning in a bottle this year. Let's make a big trade and really go for it, or at least make several good trades, I should say, and go for it. That's the team of the year right now. So and Boston, it'd be fun, you know, for that team to, you know, in that town to do something good. That'd be exciting. Rangers are probably done. They've made the two big trades. And you know, out west, boy, I'm just gonna be watching the Vegas situation. You know, you just wonder is quick enough, and I don't know who. How about you, Tom? Give me an East Coast and a Eastern Conference and a Western Conference team that you think isn't done or needs to do something in order to be able to win. That's close.
I think for me, number one, I'm just going to once again reiterate Buffalo. Leave it alone. But the Islanders and Pittsburgh. I think those two teams, if they're going to go for it, they better go for it. Especially Pittsburgh. I think the Islanders have time. I think the Islanders can continue to build on what they have because they're a weird mix right now, but they're going to be competitive, I think, in a longer window than Pittsburgh if they continue to improve. But, man, Pittsburgh's got to still be in win-now mode, and they're the ones the furthest on the outside. So, for me, that's it in the East. In the West, the entire Central Division. If anyone in the Central Division wants to step up and at least try to hit a home run or maybe even a triple. Give us a like a, you know, a frozen rope into the corner and left here, and let's see what happens. Like, you know, there could be some base running chaos. Just somebody. Dallas, quiet. Minnesota, pretty quiet. Like Colorado, you got Winnipeg sitting right there. Nashville has become a seller. You know, St. Louis is a seller. So, which is fine. That's Chicago's a seller. That's fine. That's where they need to be. So, really, the central teams, Winnipeg, Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas, somebody there needs to swing for the fences.
You know, Bill Guerin's been a little quiet, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. I actually was listening to an interview with him today that came out on the 32 Thoughts podcast, just talking about, you know, what's going on, how everything breaks down. And, of course, it goes off on tangents. But it's interesting, you know, with a guy like Guerin, who is really trying to remake that team, he's made some decisions going either way. And it blows my mind that even though they have dead cap space, that they still had a little bit of an ability to retain some salary in a deal earlier and still feel like they have flexibility. So, I mean, Guerin is doing an incredible job managing that if he feels confident in that right now. But right now, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to come off your books soon. Are you going to try to win with him? You know, you pick up Marcus Johansson from the Capitals, who are selling. You give up a third-round pick, not a lot, for Johansson. He does make you better. He makes you deeper. But is that the move? Is that enough? I feel like there could be more there for them.
Yeah, I do too. They don't have enough right now. If you're gonna, I mean, to really contend, you know, I'm surprised because he seemed like after he came in, he was kind of a go for it guy.
And right.
I thought if anybody's gonna try it this year, based on what we've seen in the past, it would be him. Thinking, okay, you know, here's my chance now in this division to do so. You know, you kind of had a feeling last year that there's no, not a chance that there was, you know, they weren't catching, you know, the number one team. So look for Minnesota. See if Bill Guerin surprises us a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And so I just want to wrap up with the transition of power in Nashville. Mm-hmm. David Poile, the winningest GM of all time in the National Hockey League.
See, I look at him more as a Northeastern graduate, but that's fine.
Okay.
You can look at it how you want.
Okay, sure. It's perspective, Mike. It's perspective. But Poile now, as he prepares to, you know, step aside and hand the reins to Barry Trotz, which is about the most Nashville thing that could possibly happen here. I have to say that Poile has done an incredible job of giving the blankest possible slate to Barry Trotz, because they have moved a bunch of guys and brought in some decent names and some middle of the road players for some futures, a bunch of draft picks. And I mean, I'm just looking back at everything they've done. Niederreiter for a second rounder. The Tanner Janot trade is still mind blowing. They got 5 picks, including a first rounder. You know, they got a couple guys on futures. Then Ekholm and a 6th rounder. They got Barry Schaefer, another 1st rounder, and a 4th rounder back. Then they get a 2nd rounder back for Michael Granlund. They are just, Poile is literally blanking out the slate for Trotz as best as he can and giving him so much draft capital.
Yes. I mean, he's left him with a couple of millstones around the neck, but, you know, but I agree. He's done a very nice job. And that is a loyal franchise guy, isn't it? Who's passing the baton and trying to do his best to set up Trotz to be successful. That's class act right there.
And you know what? I mean, Nashville is a team. It's still a destination place to play. Guys still do have an interest in going there. It just, are they going to make some more changes? We'll see. We'll see.
Well, the other thing I always am interested in is guys who have been coaches who think that they know what should be done. I've been around it enough. I've seen the arguments and the yelling and screaming between coaches and GMs. And now we're going to see is Barry Trotz, who you and I would both agree, very smart hockey guy, very, very good coach. And can he now move to a different seat and be successful?
And we used to have conversations. Like, I'd sit in Barry's office with him, and we would talk about how, and he would just, he was kind of like explaining, it was conversational. It was almost like we could have had two beers with us while we were having this talk, but just about how, you know, he would say, well, you know, when I have my differences with David on a player, I might be looking for this, he might be looking for that. It might have to do with cap, it might have to do with depth chart, it might have to do with contractual obligations, you never know. But, you know, it's always, you try to manage what the coach wants and needs to play his system and fulfill that to the best of his abilities versus all those constraints that you are under as a manager of a roster and the ways to make all those things fit in. And sometimes the two do not meet in the twain, and it can be frustrating for both parties. So I know that Barry has felt that from the coaching side, and he understands that that's what he wanted as a coach. So now, whether it's John Hines or somebody else, and I feel like it'll, well, I don't feel like, if I had my druthers, I would probably say start over. You know, Hines has not really led them anywhere. Pick a new coach. But he's going to have a couple years grace period to get this going, and Trotsky can get his guy in there, whoever that coach is, and just drive the team forward from there. So he's talked about that before. You're right, though. Now it will be interesting because he's sitting in a different chair. So now he's the guy who has to go to the coach and say, no, you can't have that player, and here's why.
And he's never done it before.
Right.
So it's, you know, at this level. So, yeah, but I wish him well. I hope he has huge success. But and those fans down there deserve it. And it's, but boy, they've got a lot of work to do, don't they? That's a franchise right now. It's almost an expansion franchise at this point. You're just starting from scratch.
And if anybody would like Mike and I to come in and be co-GMs of your hockey team, we are available.
Based on this podcast, I think the evidence is there that we should.
We're never wrong. Mike will tell you that.
Right.
Well, Mike's never wrong.
I'm never wrong. And Tom finally agreed with me for the first time in 4 years. So that's good.
There you go. I like it. Well, that's a pretty good look for us, Mike. I know we're going to take a look back once the deadline passes and the dust settles. But boy, oh boy, you know what? For everything we've talked about, I still think we could see one or two more just bombs fly. Guys that aren't even on the radar right now could just show up and you end up with a splash.
Yeah, I hope so. Nothing is more fun to me than watching. I'm going to watch these Ranger games with that much more relish just to see how it goes. I mean, I love when big trades happen, and then to see, does it lead to anything? Does it make a difference? Can it get somebody over the hump? And especially when you got this kind of big names. I mean, Patrick Kane is a superstar in the National Hockey League. He is, to me, you want to make a list of 10 guys in the NHL that you would pay money to watch play, he's on my list. And I think the Ranger fans are going to welcome him, and it's pressure, but he seems to be a guy that relishes it. That's the biggest trade so far. But you're right, what we don't know is the teams that know they're out of it, and are they going to be able to unload a contract and get rid of somebody and have a team, you know, that's in the playoff hunt pick them up.
I'm looking forward to it. And you know what? I'm going to tune into those games because I want to see what the Rangers are doing. I even want to see how Chychrun fits in with the Senators.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be watching these games and see what these guys look like with their teams. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's a fun, fun time of year. And I'll be honest with you. I like that style that Jonathan Quick plays. So I'm hopeful that he has some success there in Vegas, you know, after what happened to that team last year.
Yeah.
So you just, you know what, and he seems to be a good person, and you know, he had a wonderful career in LA, and if he's got a little bit left, maybe he can lift to Vegas and they can do something in the playoffs. That's another one I'm going to be watching closely, because you and I both love goaltenders, and we'll see if he's got anything left to help Vegas out.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. So, all right, we've shaken the dust off the Talking Puck podcast, yeah. And it felt good. It felt good to be back. Yes, it did. So Mike and I will be back on the other side of the trade deadline. We'll have plenty more to talk about. So, Mike, thanks. Appreciate you joining us as always here, and look forward to talking to you here on the weekend as we catch back up on things. And we'll see. We'll see how right Mike was.
We'll count on it.
There you go. Absolutely. We'll talk to everybody then. Thank you so much for tuning us in. You can download the Talking Puck podcast anywhere you get your podcast. We are all over the place, and we are back. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.